Blog Talk Radio.
Show today, Electric Slide. I would just like to see Dennis and Mertis doing that someday. But nevertheless, let's begin the show.
Good evening and welcome to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow or fast bowl us an email with your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now, let's talk cricket, lovely cricket.
Yes, indeed, let's talk cricket. It's another Sunday afternoon, 6 p.m. in the Eastern Standard Time, and wherever you are. I'm hoping that you are enjoying a wonderful weather, because we are having super, super weather conditions at this time of the year, and we are so privileged and proud to have in the midst of us this evening on studios with us, Mertis Nisbet and Mr. Dennis Heed. Good afternoon, lady and gents. Good afternoon
good
to you.
Good afternoon to you and Dennis. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Doing fine, this end. And Leon, I say good afternoon from out here in sunny Southern California. Beautiful afternoon, 70 degrees, cloudless sky, and the temperature is there to rival yours. Back to you.
Yes, why don't you just hold for 5 minutes, take it away for 5 minutes. I just want to grab a piece of document before we begin the show. Just tell your friends and so forth hello until I'm right back in two.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, merchants, you know, I sort of got up a little late this morning and kind of missed the opening of the final T20. And when I got in, I think the Indian team was well on their way, scoring 132 for four at that particular time. So I thought, wow, we are in for what looks like a very low score. But of course, that was never to be, because the Indian batters took charge of the bowling at the end, and in no short time they had put on a record. But 52 partnership there. All right, take it away.
Before we do that, you know, we usually give God thanks and for His allowing us to provide yet another entertaining cricket show, and we just hope to do that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you earnestly for you allowing us to provide and present another show. We hope it will go on without any interruptions, Lord. We hope it will be enjoyable. Hope that each and every participant will find it so comfortable to do what they do best, talk cricket on Sunday afternoons. Lord, we thank you for the ones that are supporting us financially and those who do so morally. We pray especially, Lord, and ask your continued healing touches on our dear relatives and friends, namely my dear wife, Eunice, Dr. Leroy Lashley and his daughter, Lisa, and Bobsy Nesbitt over there in New York, Murchis's mother, Connie Whitley, my niece, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, a friend of mine, Oliver Storm, and also another buddy of mine, Murchis Nesbitt, who is the show, Peter Willett over there, Rosman Otto, a past cricketer in Antigua, Winfred Francis, and Telbert Francis, my two brothers who are alien, Dennis Kelman, Joseph Crunchup, a schoolmate of mine, Willis and Mona Daniel, friends for a number of years, and Fillmore Hallpike, also another buddy of mine, Earl Stevens, Jeanette Hughes, my niece, Dr. Roger Brown, Virgil Francis Jr., and all the others who have not expressed their concerns, Lord. We just pray for them and pray that you just continue to heal and touch their bodies. Let them be whole again so they can continue to do your work. We pray especially for this country and all the countries that are suffering from whatever affliction that is on them at this point. And we hope and pray, Lord, as we ask, that you will make this show be one to be remembered. And thank you again for the time afforded us to do just this. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as you were saying, Amen. Dennis, as you were saying while I was about that name, we must tell the folks about what is coming up at 7 o'clock because we have a special interview. Dennis, you were starring. You were starring Dennis Heath. I was missing in action. I tried to get in, but Dennis wouldn't allow me to get in, I tell you. Not so. But nevertheless, I was happy, overjoyed. And we're going to bring you about a part of it, about 45 minutes at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. And we hope that it will go well. And it was a wonderful show. And we hope that all who have the pleasure to hear it will be enjoying it. So let us begin with what's happened today in the world of cricket and over the week, as a matter of fact. We got to talk about the West Indies in India. And, of course, by now most of you know that the West Indies lost. And they lost in a way that really, really was not pleasing to many of the supporters. India, they scored 184 for 5 from the allotted 20 overs. West Indies replied with 167 for 9, winning there by 17 runs. At one stage, it looked like India would never have reached that total. But a little later on, what we'll do, we'll give you all the scores. We'll give you all the details, and we'll also give you the scores that were totals for the whole series as well. And the West Indies four-day championship is very much presently on the goals. And we do have the first two round of matches. And I just tell you, in the second round, we were very pleased of the Leeward Islands, not so with Jamaica though, Dennis, because in the second round, what happened there? Let's see what happened in the second round. Okay, Windward Islands versus, I'm taking from a wrong page. Okay, it's the Windward, let's start with Barbados versus Jamaica. Jamaica replying to 528 for 8 by Barbados and 40 without loss, or 40. Two without loss, 9.4 overs. Jamaica scored 328 and 233. They're losing that encounter by innings and 43 runs. And Barbados winning there by 10 wickets, I beg your pardon. Barbados winning there by 10 wickets. In the end, other encounter, the Leewards versus Guyana. The Leewards replying to Guyana's 116 all out and 265 in the second innings, scored 438 for 7, and also they lose that encounter by an innings and 57 runs. Leewards winning by an innings and 57. In the other encounter, it was Trinidad and Tobago versus the Windwards. And the scores are the Trinidad and Tobago scored 326. We have a little encounter. 326. And the Windward scored 98. And in the second and time round, they scored 186. Trinidad and Tobago winning one by an innings and 43 runs. So let me just go over the one with Jamaica and Barbados, because Barbados won by 10 wickets. 10 wickets. So again, the scores over there, Barbados 521 for 8 declared and 42 without loss. Jamaica 328 and 233. So those are the scores. We do have the table, the standings, and we'll give you that a little later on, but just to whet your appetite with that. And the West Indies have moved up. A number of the players have moved up in the ranking, in the T20 rankings. We'll just, time permitting, we'll give you those persons who have moved up in the ranking. New Zealand, they are taking on, at least they have started a two-match series over against South Africa. And the first test match was won comprehensively by the New Zealanders. New Zealand won, winning by an innings and 276 runs. New Zealand 482. South Africa 95 and 111. Next encounter is on the 25th, Friday the 25th. New Zealand will take on South Africa in the second test match. West Indies, they are going to do a historic ODI series tour of the Netherlands. And those encounters will commence May the 31st to June the 4th. So look out for the fix the list and all the details for the squad that is going to be going to that country. India women are over in New Zealand, and believe you me, they're taking a whopping. They're playing five ODIs, one T20 between February the 9th and February 24th. And the ODIs are going not good for the Indians, because New Zealand won the first by 18 runs, the second by 62 runs, the third by 3 wickets, the fourth by 3 wickets, the fifth yet to be played on the 26th, the 22nd, and the final on the 24th. So again, New Zealand are doing a number on the Indian ladies. We just hope the Indians can pull back one. And Roy Sharma, he has been named captain of all the formats for India. That is, he will take care of the test captaincy, the ODI, and the T20 as well. And CWI, they're partnering with the ICC to develop a global training and education program. Global training and education program. And over in Sri Lanka, they are taking, in Australia, the Sri Lankans are touring. The Australia, they will be playing five T20s starting February 11th, and they'll go until February 20th. And those are completed. So the first Australian won by DLS by 20 runs. The second match, Australia won super over as well. And the third, the Australian won by 6 wickets. Fourth, Australia won by 6 wickets. The final match, Sri Lanka were able to save face by winning by some 5 wickets. Congratulations, they saved the whitewash. And of course, we have to just mention that Dennis was the guy who called the Super Bowl right last week, and he had Audley coming on to hang on with him. So they both won and put on a licking and all and sundry, including Murchis. I thought you would have sympathy for her, but you never did. 23-20, Mr. Heath. So that is a big whipping. Unless we have some folks on board, I think is okay. Let me see if it's Audley. Let's say Audley. We haven't heard from him all week or all last week for a little bit. But anyway, let's hear from Audley. Good afternoon to you, Audley.
Good evening to you, Mr. Francis. Good afternoon to Mr. Dennis, and good evening to the rest of the panelists and for the listeners throughout this world. It's good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. A wonderful Sunday evening again in my neck of the woods, nice and cool. I think we're in the 70s thereabout, but very, very windy and stuff like that. Just love it. Just loving it.
Yeah, why don't you give us the inside edge? We have Murchison on board with us, and I believe we have Don on board as well. So.
Hey, good evening, Miss Murchison. Good evening. Well, Murchison is a member of our panel now. she don't.
Yeah, well, you know,
what we can do. Officially, she is. You know,
sometimes we can't get her to wake up.
Right. So when I welcome our panelists, she's included.
All right.
Okay, the inside edge for the day. We have a little inside edge here with Shibna Ryan Chandra, Paul, and Jacques Kallis. Yes, Jacques Kallis, of course, played 166 test matches, scored some 13,289 runs. And Mr. Chandra, Paul, second only to Lara for the West Indies, where runs scored is concerned, he played 64 test matches, two matches less than Kallis. Scored 11,867. But did you know when it comes to innings, both Kallis and Chandra, Paul played exactly 280 innings each? Yes, in their test career, 280 innings. Jack and Chandra, Paul. That's
Amen.
It. Inside
Indeed.
Edge.
Inside Edge, and we're so glad to have that back. And we have about 50 minutes to go before we take a break for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. So why don't you kick it off? Dennis, you want to start with anything? You want to start with West Indies losing, or you want to start with a four-day tournament? Whichever. The choice is
well, either one. I think let's do the four-day tournament, and things are kind of in two pieces because of the England tour coming up in early March. So the four-day championship for the West Indies has been split into two rounds. The first round with two matches, or is it? Yeah, I think it's two matches in the first round, and that will be interrupted in the middle until after the series with the test match series with England. But right now, the matches are very interesting. Well poised, with Trinidad and Tobago actually head of the table, and they've shown why they're head of the table because they've produced in all the matches so far. And the interesting thing is, I'm not sure how the selectors will look at it, but there are a number of players who are actually producing runs and taking wickets and may well be in the reckoning for to be considered for the test match players coming up. I know Craig Braithwaite has hit a double century. We have other players such as the Jamaican Campbell, who has hit another 100. And we have other players such as even Solorzano having had that unfortunate accident there in India. Now he's back. Was that? No, that was not India. That was in Sri Lanka, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, he's back.
On his debut.
On his debut in Sri Lanka, yes. But he's now back because he had a nice knock of 266 in Trinidad innings when they played against the Windward Islands recently. And, of course, we see De Silva doing very well, two couple of good scores. And we can also see that, you know, there are others that we know, Blackwood there getting runs. We see even Kieran Powell getting runs. Hemraj also on the runs feature there. Although two innings, I'm not sure that will be enough to convince the selectors to include them. But nonetheless, they have made it known by their production in these opening rounds. And, of course, the bowlers there, we've got Alzari Joseph striking. We've got another player, surprisingly, who I hadn't heard much about. It's from Trinidad. It's Caraya. He seems to be knocking very, very hard on that wood. So far, cricket is good. Let's see what happens in the next round. Let's hear from Audley and Liam what their take on this championship.
Well, as for me, as for me, I haven't been following keenly. When I'm out coming back in the evening, sometime a bit draggy and a bit tardy. I think I'll have to start. I'll have to pick up a notch when it comes to the West Indies and the Caribbean Championship. I heard the scores, but I've been following keenly. So
yeah,
I'll let you go by. Yeah.
Well, Dennis, you really, really have left out the leewards completely because the leewards. I mean, in details, really. Let me say in details.
The leeward islands, they're doing very well. You know,
yes.
I have to admit.
Yeah, but let me finish.
Go ahead.
That's what I was going to say. When I say you left it out, not that you left it out completely, but some of the details which the fans would like to hear is that the leewards have defeated the Guyanese by an innings and some 57 runs. That was a big win for them, and they were in third place. Not only that, Dennis. They have Thomas, he scored in the first encounter, a century and a 50 and a half century. And then in the third encounter, he also went along and scored on a 50. So he is in one of the players that should be up for at least contention. He had Powell scoring two good knocks, two good half centuries as well. And then you have some others who have scored. Cornwall got the four in the first match, the second he didn't have. Then you have a young guy, Durham, out of Anguilla. He ripped the guy in his apartment and they scored that when they were bowled out for 116. So the leewards barely lost to Barbados, were it not for some real bad decision, in my view, umpire decision. And they might have had a couple LBW which went their way. And when it were time for the leewards to bat, we saw some umpiring decision go against them. And it was hard pressed. They had this Barbados on the ropes on 100 and small for about 6 wickets, and they were able to knock off the 100 and change that were given for them to win the match. So all in all, the leewards are doing well. On the other hand, the windwards aren't, and Trinidad is also doing very well, and it's a big toss-up right now, because Dawidge is back, and Dawidge played a very very important knock against the leewards when the leewards had them on the run in the first innings as well. So you have some players in contention and, some new blood are coming up. Some youngsters are looking good. It has exposed quite a bit of new blood. And all in all, I thought the tournament was exciting. I have to give the West Indies Cricket Board pay compliments to them for their bring a wonderful coverage. The coverage on YouTube was excellent. And radio as well. It was outstanding. For a long time, we haven't had that. And I just had to commend them and just hope that the players will use the opportunity to put their all. And this is done despite having most of the senior players are away on international duty. So all in all, I think the fans are happy. Though you may lose, you love to sit back and watch cricket and watch local cricket and enjoy it. And it was, to me, a thrill, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I hope the players who are participating now will do their utmost to try and replace and upstage some of the players in the senior team. So that's the opportunity you get. You've got to hold it. And hopefully, I want to see Jamaica come back. They have lost their both matches as well as the Windwards. and Trinidad and Tobago, they are on top, followed by Barbados, and then in third place you have the Leewards, and then the other two at the bottom. So it was a good tournament so far, and I'm thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope when the tournament resumes after the England tour, we will definitely see the rivalry continues. As you were saying, Dennis?
Yes, I might ask two questions here, Leon. First a comment. I'm disappointed to see that we only have six territories involved in this, and I'm hoping that in time...
Can I answer you? Because that is very pertinent. A question that is... you know, we can't afford it. It's just that simple. We can't afford it.
You mean we can't afford it?
They cannot afford it at this point. No ifs and buts about that.
So for clarification, Leon,
they can't afford it.
You're saying the West Indies... Go ahead, Audrey.
No, we know that an English team joined us some few seasons ago, maybe quite a good seasons ago.
And
the USA also joined once. And then, of course, there was the up-and-coming, what's the youngster's name?
Under 19, I tell you,
I'm going blank these days. I don't know if I'm having
yeah, welcome to the club.
The COVID or what, but
I know what you mean. Is that
a lot of people get forgetful after they have the COVID, so I don't know if that's happened to me or what. But the CCC,
the CCC,
we had them in the competition. And so, as Leon pointed out, that money maybe, you did not say maybe. That money is a problem, because as Dennis pointed out, it would be nice to have another two teams. You know, you have two groups, right? Four in each group. You have a round robin, and then the winners from each group, you know, do a knockout thing like that. But when it's six, it's a little more complicated. But if you have like two other teams, and of course one of those. Of the two teams that we're talking about now, you'd have one place in each group, the younger teams, and then it would have given them a fair chance to try, you know, come out of their respective group and try to make it through. So it has happened before, and hopefully in the future we'll see more team from the United States. All these games that we're playing in the States here, I know, regarded as recognized as international ODI T20s. So we need some more of those guys to get more exposure, play in the Caribbean competition, and sharpen the edge. I don't know if it will, but at least they need to do that. Back to you.
What I hope for Dennis before you come in is that the local associations will do a lot of work right now to help develop their youth. Because, I don't know if cricket is being played in Jamaica. You know for a fact. And Trinidad is playing some, and Guyana plays some. I know Antigua is playing some. I don't know about the Windwards No, in Antigua, they're playing a tournament right now, you know, but it's not the longer version. So, but I know money has been the great, great setback for these teams. And I would love to see more teams, but the point is they have a team on tour. I'd love to see they have an A team, and I don't think no A team is really touring anywhere nowadays days. So I don't know if what definitely will happen, but to expand the tournament would be good. Just, and in my view, I don't think they have enough. The funders aren't there. You know, people are struggling with their business to sponsor teams. It's not like the Super Bowl where you can get
$7 million.
Start to,
$7 million
yeah,
for 30
get
seconds.
Big money for advertisement.
Nobody buying this cricket for this and paying these large sums of money.
But Leon, I remember a few years ago when it was announced that some people were paying $1 million for 30 seconds. Then it goes up, you know. But now, now you think about $7 million for 30 seconds. It's like when back in 1971, when Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fought, they were guaranteed $2.5 million. Wow. Fight of the century. They're getting $2.5 million now to show up at a training camp. The guys are getting $2.5 million. But back then it was the biggest, you know? So it's just like what's happening with this commercial now. Everything's getting more and more and more expensive, you know. Yep.
Yeah,
so,
GD,
What you're saying is that funds is not available for other teams to join the championship. It's disappointing because I know in the CPL, for example, St. Kitts Nevis have a team. I think St. Lucia have a team. We have other territories like Antigua and other.
It's different because they're franchise teams.
I'm just wondering what's happened to national pride in the sense that, you know, we can have the CPL teams there, but we can't have a national team from, you know, combined from, say, St. Kitts and Nevis and even St. Lucia included in the West Indies Championship. And as Audley pointed out...
It goes like you have... Leeward is comprised of all the small islands in the Eastern Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
The Windward is in the central portion. Trinidad is always by themselves. Guyana, now the Jamaica, and of course Trinidad and Tobago. All these teams are separate. We don't have them, the small islands again individually. So,
but you know, Leon, the Americas includes the United States and Canada. So as Audley is pointing out, why can't we have negotiations where we get to include these two teams, you know, the Canadians and the Americans, included in...
It boils down to funding, too. They may want to send a team, but then accommodation and transportation would be another...
I guess it comes down to COVID. Lack of preparation for all these times. So it's not like... we have this lot of time to plan ahead. Okay, this is what we're going to do this year because of all the uncertainty, you know, whether we even going to get any player. So it's like, you know, this is what we're going to send a team to the Caribbean. We're going to do this and, you know. So I guess the COVID might have played the biggest role, you know, and the uncertainty if we're even going to get any play in the Caribbean, you know, with all these protocols and stuff like that. So I think that could be it.
On another point,
we're up on our time for the Walter Henry.
Okay.
6:30.
Go ahead.
And after that, we'll, you know. So, Audley, why don't you pot up? Because we are ready for Freddy.
All right. You're ready like Freddy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, with that sound means the time for the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Yes, it is the time of the evening when we say hello to the cricketers who were born in this day, on this day, for the entire week. So you can call in at this time, 515-605-9850, 515 605-9850. It's the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Yep, and today is the 20th of February. Man, February is almost gone, believe it or not. It's running by. Okay, let's look at birthdays. Celebrity birthdays like Sidney Poitier. Yep, Sidney Poitier was born on this day back in 1927. And, of course, he died earlier this year, the 6th of January. He left us, no longer with us, Sidney Poitier. And it's important, John Glenn, first American to orbit the Earth back in 1962. Yep. And birthdays, Felicia Cummins, female cricketer out of Trinidad and Tobago. Dante Parkin from South Africa. Bonnie Lucas, Eddie Hemmings, and Jago. All from England, Clint McKay from Australia, Rohan Sunil Gavaskar from India, Akhtar Safraz from Pakistan, Ted Milui from Zimbabwe, Rohan Alexander from the United States, and Shahzad Khan from Canada. For the second, we have Morton, Cardinal's nephew. That's tomorrow. And I guess Cardinal will come and chime in on that one. But tomorrow will be the birthday of Desmond Lewis, the late Desmond Lewis. He left us 2018. He was living in Atlanta. Kimo Paul from Guyana. And Keith Arthurson from Nevis. They'll be celebrating tomorrow along with Michael Slater out of Australia. John Parker. Anora Kitchen, both from New Zealand. The late cricket commentator, Dickie Rutniger, yep, from India. Jackie Harker, female cricketer from England. Mike Camomile and Neville Quinn from South Africa. Naveen Latif from Pakistan. For the 22nd, we have golfer Vijay Singh. Yep, once he was on the tier, was rated number one in the world, but he has fallen off the boil like anything else with time. Vijay Singh, happy birthday when it comes. From out of Jamaica, West Indies, but he represents England, Devon Malcolm. Yep, played some 40 test matches, 10 ODIs for England. Shane Shillingford out of Dominica. Cardell Jack, female cricketer out of St. Vincent. And Colin Fletcher out of Jamaica. John Robinson from England. George Joey Palmer, Sean Tate, and Clint McKay are from Australia. And we have Sonita Singh, female cricketer from India. Janet Fernandez from Sri Lanka. And we have Joanna Somasikara from the United Arab Emirates. And Hamish Bennett from New Zealand. For the 23rd, Robin Bino and Rashada Williams from England. England's first test cricket captain. James Lillywhite. Then we have Josh Henry Jana, Chuck Board, and Warren Hick. From South Africa, Herschel Gibbs, Ian Smith, and Steve Ellsworthy. From Australia, Frank Ward, Brad Young, and Debbie Martin. From Pakistan, female cricketer, Kinross Baloch. And from Canada, Don Maxwell and Abzel Dean. For the 24th, Derek Randall from England, along with Brian Close and John Lever. From Australia, Mike Whitney. From Pakistan, Mohammed Sami. And Kanwar Raji Singh. And Slip Guppy from India. And on this day also, the first double century that was made in ODI was made, of course, by Sachin Tendulkar. Yes, 2010, exactly 200 not out. And Chris Gayle did that a couple of years later when he made 215 against What it was, I think it was Zimbabwe. And it was that match where he himself and Marlon Samuels put on the record partnership, still the highest in any ODI match, 372. Yeah, Marlon Samuels eventually not out for 133 runs. Fifth, Donald Quarry, DQ, as we call him back in Jamaica. DQ, yeah. Original bad sprinter. He will be celebrating. He was born back in 1951. I remember, Leon, when he was beaten by Hazley Crawford in Trinidad, Trinidad in the 100, but then Quarry reversed the things in the 200. He won the 200. Okay, so Travis Webb, Cardinals' friend. Travis will be celebrating also on the 25th. Alma Voigt, Steve Rickson, Stuart McGill, Glenn Bishop, and George Bonner, all from Australia. Greg William from Namibia, captain of Namibia. Matthew Bell from New Zealand. Mr. Farooq Engineer, oh yeah, out of India. Wally Harding from England, along with John Arlott, not a bad commentator, cricket commentator, John Arlott. And Saqib Mahmood, also from England. And we have, for the 36th, finally, Sonia Richard Ross from Jamaica, representing the United States, of course, in athletics, 400 meters. And we have Virgil's daughter will be celebrating on Saturday also. Aranita, I think is the name. So Virgil, I know, will come with that one. Kimani Marley, also one of the Marley clans, will be celebrating on the 26th as well. And it will be the birthday once again of Sir Everton Weeks. Sir Everton Weeks out of Barbados. From Australia, Bill Johnson and Louis Barefoot. Broadfoot. From England, Matthew Pryor and Charles Coventry. Keith Thompson and Ross Dyke from New Zealand. Noel Davis from India. And this is just about what we have here for you, Leon. I'll come back in a little bit.
Well, let's hear from, well, I think we have Donna on, so why don't you bring in Donna. Donna, do you have any birthdays for us this evening? I guess the number, right?
Yes, that's me. Right here.
Yes, okay, yes, indeed.
So,
come on in.
Hardly mentioned it before. It's my nephew who is going to be having a birthday on Tuesday the 22nd. My nephew, that's called Terrell Morton.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he'll be celebrating on Tuesday the 22nd.
All right. That's good then. Happy birthday to Terrell. Tyron?
Yeah, uh-huh. that's my only birthday for this week.
Mm-hmm. And no mercy, you'll have birthdays, but well, how about you, Mr. Dennis? And let's see if we have Virgil as well.
Thank you, Leon.
Yes, okay.
Thank you,
Virgil.
Yes,
walk right ahead, and then we'll bring in the Virgil.
I want to give a big shout-out to my sister up there in Canada, that Charmaine Heath, celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday, sister.
Charmaine Heath.
That's my... That's the only one for today. Thank you.
Let's hear from Virgil. Last week we missed him. We tried to get him many times, but he said he's too early for him. Come on in, Virgil.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Francis. Good evening to all the panelists, and good evening to all the listeners. I think last week what happened, I was not home, so that's why I didn't get the call early.
All right, so what about your birthdays? Do you have any to share with us this week?
No, I don't have. What month is it? You don't have no birthday, but I heard.
You have one, Virgil, your granddaughter.
Oh my God. She's going to kill me, man.
He's in trouble.
What today is it? I didn't call her today.
That's Saturday. No, that's Saturday. Not today, Saturday.
Oh, yeah. What? I was just doing that to see if you remind me, Audley.
Come on.
Hey, I'm so confused. I don't even know what the date is, man. So, apologize for all that. But Ariana, which is my granddaughter, celebrated her birthday on the 26th of this month. Just want to wish you a very, very, very happy birthday. And granddad, love you very, very, very much. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to call her and tell her to listen in, but I hope she can go back in the archives and listen to it. So I'll make sure I call her up on the 26th. I didn't even know what the date is, so you have to forgive me for that.
Okay. No, I don't have a birthday, but what I do have is just to mention that we have received two books from Mr. War Michael Chambers. And one, he calls it Portland Women's T10 Tournament. You know about that tournament, Audley, or Mr.
No.
Dennis? Okay, that was played in 220, but he wrote a little book about it, and I just peruse it. It's more or less just informational and some subscriber. But he also sent another book, The Practice, and this is authored by two persons, Desmond Green and Don Vaz Green, and it's Practice, a Template for Successful Living. The Practice is the title of the book, and it's a template for a successful living. And I'm through reading it. I'll just pass it on to guys and see if they can find something useful for me.
We need those good templates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. So that's what I want to just say on my behalf. Just wish that thank Mr. Chambers for his continuing support by giving us information material to help us along our way. So if you're hearing Mr. Chambers, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll give you a call and thank you via the phone once more. So I just want to share it with the panelists. Why don't you come on in, Audley?
I have a couple. My roommate, Pete Edmonds, he's celebrating a birthday today. I heard he came in sometimes ago, so I just give him a shout out. Happy birthday to you, Pete. And a little buddy of mine, C.J. Miller, up there in Delray Beach. He's celebrating a birthday tomorrow. And another one of my co-workers, Joe Gaynor, he is celebrating on Wednesday. And officer back in Jamaica, big up here in Florida there, he is Glenn Kerr. He will be celebrating on the 25th. So all you guys who are celebrating this week, happy birthday to you all. Of course, I'll give them all a personal call anyhow. All right, but happy birthday. And that's just about what I have, Lillian, for birthday and anniversary.
And I've chosen this song for everybody who's celebrating a birthday. I call this one Land of My Birth. It's more or less a national song for Jamaica.
Eric Donaldson, yeah.
Yes.
National festival song.
I will always believe in the black people.
Big promotion, there, Leon. Yeah, advertising Jamaica and, of course, musical history. Eric Donaldson, he won the festival competition so many times, maybe about 8, 9, or 10 times. I know he got a special award the other day. Same one as song, Cherry, Oh Cherry, Oh Cherry, Oh Baby, and many other songs. But this song that can play in church. I mean, nothing bad about just telling you about the sweet Jamaica and how we should be good to each other and stuff like that. These are nice, clean songs. Right. Okay, so this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour, and I hope you stay tuned, because next week, just about 6:30, we're going to be doing it again. But remember, each one tell one. We'll be having... We have our friends over there all over in the Caribbean, in Omel. I got to give Omel a shout out. I'm always listening over there. I have this little rival with Leon, with Liverpool and Chelsea. Right. Yeah. And for friends in India, in the Caribbean, and wherever you are, just remember that we are on air each Sunday from 6 Eastern Standard Time until 9 p.m. So join us next week, just about 6:30. Once again, we'll present the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, Leon. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Well, why don't you start off, Audley, with, at least we're waiting for 7 o'clock. Why don't you start off with the West Indies in India and what you have so far, while I try to pull up this audio.
Dennis is
more equipped.
Sure, throw it to Dennis
there. West Indies in India?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, once again, congratulations
wherever
to
come
India. Congratulations to India for sweeping the series. A whole lot of commiserations to cricket fans in the islands and cricket fans elsewhere who are particular fans of the West Indies. It's been a disappointing series in many ways for the West Indies over there in India. And when I speak of disappointment, I'm not speaking of disappointment of cricket in general, but of specifically of the West Indies performances and the results that they have obtained. They've shown in some instances that they're ready to fight. And, you know, I think a lot of the issues that we're facing is in the bowling department as opposed to the batting, In T20s, we can find two or three players who can pull the score along and bring in a good total. But when our bowlers fail to restrict the opponents, this is where we end up, you know, in sad, sad situations. I mean, for example, in today's match, at one point, we had India at 93 for 4. And in the long run, this was at the 16th over. So between the 16th and the 20th over, the score somehow went from 130 up to 184. And I think somehow, somewhere, coaches have to learn, well, not the coaches to learn, but yes, the coaches need to make it a priority to discuss tactics in these games. Because when we're in a situation like this, bowlers need to be aware that it's okay to attack the stumps and you attack the stumps low. You can give a player a single, but no way do you want these large hits for sixes and fours and sometimes three sixes or two sixes or three fours in an over. And that is where I see the Islanders, the West Indies, being poorly, poorly coached in terms of how to contain and how to restrict the batter in those last four or five overs in these T20. So India managed to amass 184 for five, and Yadav did an amazing job, and Lyre with their partnership towards the end to bring rally and bring India around. But the cricket all round was good if you're a spectator paying, and bad for specific, you know, party. But if you're a particular supporter of one team or the other, that might not have been great. You know, it's good to see Poran earning and showing why he was, you know, he's guaranteed in the IPL sum was as high as it was. Nice for Shepherd and Powell to come along and catch him. But the huge disappointment is with our captain, Pollard. I think somehow he needs to take a rest and give somebody else a shot because he is not delivering the goods, not as a captain, not in his direction, not in his directives. And he's certainly not producing on the field. But I'll take a break there.
Just quickly, I'm glad you brought it up because I don't know how many of you noticed that Pollard went on the field with an inhaler.
No, I did not notice that.
Yes, and I just feel the guy is sick. And he should just rest and let Poran take over the team and bring in Odin Smith or some other player in the bench. He's killing himself, you know. See, he's trying too hard to do what he, and if you were going on the field with an inhaler, so it shows that perhaps his sinus is acting up or something. That is my look at it. And normally a ball that he will just put over the fence, and just look casually. And Jason Hole takes it to me. He just put those balls there. Those are balls that he normally would put over the fence. He just put it halfway, not even moving his feet. And you see, he's not even bowling. He's not even bowling. So I feel that he's not well. And he should, man enough to say, I'm not well. I'm going to be, you know, taking a break or something and let Poran take on because he has to going to be killing himself in the IPL soon. And I'm sure they're not going to play if he's not doing well. They're going to replace him with a younger blood. But I felt that we had them today. When I went away and come back, I see the score 185. I say, something would have been what I think they should, but 20 runs too many. And the second match was even closer. So I think we find Chase bowled remarkable. Do you know that Chase is the joint leader of the most wickets in the T20 tournament, and also Poran scored almost 80 runs more than the next contender runs, and we still can't win the tournament. You see, these are things that we should look up. These guys, we're doing well. I like, although Shepherd was manhandled a little bit.
Expensive.
Yes. He showed that he's, they were saying he's not the number six bowler. The Indians were saying that he's not the number six bowler. But you have to give a guy an opportunity. And then I like Odin Smith. I like Odin Smith. I don't know why they kept walking him and out. And Hayden Walsh came in today, and not only would Hayden Walsh and Allen really, really good for West Indies side, because between point extra cover area there Angoli. They can save up a bunch of runs, and runs that will just normally go through, they will save a lot of runs in between that area. And the Indians score a lot of runs in that area. And I'm glad that Hayden came in and he bowled a couple good overs. He should have had a couple more wickets. But that bowling court was really, really a tough one for him to hold on to. But he ended up with a wicket. And I always say West Indies have a team that everybody can score at least 15 runs. And, you know, if everybody scored that, what happened? At least you got a good total.
But we lost Leon. But as I said, it was, we have the batters who can do the job. What we lack is penetration in the bowling department. That's what we lack.
We have on deck, I'm sure, I want to apologize for the quality of the broadcast if it doesn't come out well, because I'm finding some difficulty getting it recorded, but hopefully that this one come out. And Dennis, why don't you talk to us about our guests this evening? It's 7 o'clock. We promised the folks.
Yes, panelists and listeners, we had planned and we were open and we invited a special guest from Australia, Roderick Lyall, and he's an academic and a journalist, and of course he spent some time as a vice chairman of the Dutch Cricket Board, and he had some very striking views and opinion on the ICC and the global growth of cricket and it was very provocative, having read the article myself. And we invited him to come along and share with us his thoughts and ideas in person. But unfortunately, in the digital age, we encountered some digital problems which prevented us from having him come on live with us. So we took the next best alternative, and that was to do a recording of his views and question. And we've hoping to play that for you, and hope that you will get as much from this recording as you would have gotten if he was here directly and in person. But of course, we can make arrangements to try and bring him back if we can work out the kinks at another day. So, yes. Leon,
may I add to that, is not all of the interview. We're just going to try and play 40 minutes, and I hope that it is the quality so good that you guys can hear. So here is Rod. Rod, where were you? Oh, here is Rod. He's gone again. Gone again. Rod is just a piece of work.
You are in.
Don't understand. Come on in, Mr. Dennis. Come on,
Rod,
in, Dennis.
Go. Okay.
This broadcast was recorded late on Saturday. This recording was late on Saturday. And Jatin Patel and Leon and myself were on hand for it. We did the best we could under the circumstances, and we're hoping that we can replay with all the clarity and clearness that we were able to pick up. Are you ready, Leon?
Yes, I'm trying to get it up. Give me
the real me.
Good to see you, Rod. I'm not sure if I'm up there in pictures, am I?
You are.
Oh, good.
Dennis is not, but everybody else is.
Okay, Leon. I'm sorry. No. Jason, can you pull me in?
You are in already. You have to turn on your video from your phone.
What? My video's not up there.
We apologize for the little homework.
We can hear you, but we can't.
Audio is okay, right? Yes.
I'm not. Wait a second. No participant share. Start video. One second. Let me see. Start video. May not resume, but a brief history or description of your article, ICC and Global Growth. I have to inform you that I do have a copy of it in front of me, but I also am aware that maybe, since you're in the hot seat, we'd love to hear
your thoughts coming directly out of your mouth so that we can then, pick the pieces up and run with it.
Well, yeah, thanks, Dennis. Not for the first time, back in November, I wrote a piece in a white heat about an ICC document. I mean, the timing of that document could scarcely have been unhappier. What they did was they launched their new plan for global growth, as they called it. It was a two-page A4 glossy, full of slogans and management speak, but no, very few figures. And the only figures that it contained were about fan engagement. No figures about numbers playing. They were talking about an increase in the numbers playing. They were talking about developing cricket in the associate countries. But there were very few concrete details about how they were going to do that. And in many ways, it was a much less developed plan than the two or three or four plans for global growth that we had seen over the past two decades. Furthermore, it committed to meaningful competitive cricket for the associate countries at exactly the moment, well, 4 days after they had announced that they were abandoning the Super League, the 13-team Super League, which gave one associate country, at any rate, in the current cycle, happened to be the Netherlands. It didn't happen to be the Netherlands. The Netherlands qualified to take part, and it was huge for them. And although it's been severely disrupted by the pandemic, as so much has been, the ICC announced that they were going to abandon that experiment before it had been completed, before it had really been given a chance, and that they were going to revert to basing qualification for global tournaments on rankings. The ranking system, the ICC ranking system, is quite frankly a disaster. I think everybody accepts that it's a disaster. We are seeing consequences of that literally as we speak in the tournament in Oman, where the Philippines happened to finish top of the rankings, or the highest on the rankings for that tournament, based on a very, very inadequate series of matches in terms of competitive cricket. And they got the gig ahead of, say, Vanuatu, who are on paper and on the field, which is where it matters, clearly a much stronger side. So the fact that they said, okay, we're going to go back to bilaterals, because bilaterals and rankings are what the big countries want, and basically the smaller countries can go and get stuff, was so incongruous, so such a sharp contrast with all the fine-sounding words that the ICC produced in these two glossy pages, that I simply pointed out in 900 words where the discrepancies were, that it's great that they want to develop women's cricket, that they want to, that they say they want to increase the number of teams taking part in the major global tournaments, and they are indeed taking steps in that direction. But it's been so slow. It's so unplanned. The development has been so incoherent, and there have been so many backward steps over the past 20 years. And I can talk a bit more about that later on. I have to say, I saw red, and that article was the result.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Jatin, any sign of Leon being able to come to the front? Jatin?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well, we'll continue. If you don't mind, Rod, what I'll do is I'll just ask a few questions based on I mean, I'll kind of hopscotch across your article as opposed to, you know, going chronologically.
Yep, sure.
I've lost Rod from my... Okay, thank you. Now, you mentioned expanding the fan base. Can we not accept that investment in growth markets will translate into incremental growth in the fan base? And if the fan base is growing, is that not an indicator of the growth of the game worldwide?
I don't think so. I think there is a huge existing fan base and a potential fan base, for example, in the subcontinental diaspora, wherever cricket lovers from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh may be, Nepal, they will follow cricket. And that is a given. And there are many, many countries around the world where cricket would not exist, probably, were it not for that diaspora. But there is a huge difference between a fan base, which is essentially passive, which watches, which engages with, which supports online, for example, if the streaming is good enough, and the streaming is often not good enough, particularly where the associates are concerned. So I don't have a quarrel with developing the fan base as such. My problem comes when you substitute developing the fan base for developing cricket. What's important is not so much that we have lots of people watching streamed cricket on their computers and engaging via social media. What's important is that we have more and more players across the 100-plus members of the ICC and countries which are not yet members of the ICC, which are often doing really good developmental work. What's important is that those countries see more and more players, boys and girls, men and women. And that's where the focus should be. I think it's much more important that the focus should be on finding practical ways to develop cricket in countries across every continent. Yes, people from the diasporas, expats, but also people from what we might call the indigenous population. If cricket is going to become stronger in, choose a random country, the Czech Republic, or Costa Rica, it is vitally important that the players from, that the expats who currently run cricket and enjoy playing cricket in those countries are able to reach out and get Czechs, Costa Ricans playing cricket. The long-term future of cricket involves grassroots involvement of the native population in every country. And they need help with that. That's not something which happens automatically. Where cricket is a tiny minority sport, the sources of funding locally are necessarily very restricted. When the ICC retreated from its development strategy, the strategy which had been in place from around 2000 to around 2010, 2012, maybe even 2015, when they pulled the plug on that, they said, oh, we can't go on funding cricket in these minority countries. You've got to find your own sponsorship. You've got to find your own local support. But they offered no serious help in how you might do that. And even a country which has a long cricketing history like the Netherlands, where cricket goes back to the 19th century, where there's been a national team and a national competition since 1891, I know because I've been involved in it, the finding of sponsorship is a huge problem And it's only when you get serious exposure, where you get full member test sides coming to play ODIs, where you get the possibility of maybe even getting onto television, onto the local free-to-air television. It's only when that starts to happen, when you've got tournament commitments at home and abroad, which you can sell to a sponsor. It's only when that kind of happens, when that starts to become possible, that you have any realistic prospect of getting the kind of local funding you need in order to put down realistic roots in the local community. And to take a concrete example, Ryan Campbell, the Dutch national coach, tweeted this morning in response to the fact that the live streaming from the T20 qualifier in Oman, which started yesterday, the live streaming has been a disaster. I don't know whether you've seen any of it, but games where you simply couldn't watch the game. They advertised they were going to show it, and then the feed didn't work. And Ryan Campbell rightly says, tough if you've sold a sponsor the fact that this is going to be live streamed, and then it isn't. So it's all very well to have fine words about digital engagement and building the fan base. But if you can't deliver on the most simple of those commitments on a practical basis, and if you have no serious strategies for getting cricket out into the local communities, then it doesn't matter what fine words you have and what glossy paper you print them on.
Thank you. Jatin, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but is there any sign of Leon being visible and oral?
Leon is visible, but he is not able to communicate. That's what I can see.
Looks like he's having microphone issues, Rod.
Yep, as always.
How well we know that. All right, well, let's proceed. Now, one of the statements you made in the article, Rod, was that money in the coffers of powerful members. Now, in recent years, there has been an exponential growth in individual or corporate-owned cricket franchises, such as the various T20 franchises. Do you consider these franchises to be channeling money into the coffers of powerful members? Are these franchises no different to a McDonald's or Burger King investment business? What is your thought?
Yeah, there are several issues wrapped up in that question. I mean, my what I was thinking about when I wrote that sentence was the fact that over the last 10 years, we have seen a severe reduction in the amount of money from ICC sources, which goes to they slashed the money that was going to go to the associates. There was some restoration when the other full members fought back, and there was an adjustment. There was a compromise deal. There was some adjustment, but it's still way below the levels of funding that were available 12, 15 years ago. And significantly, when Ireland the countries with the lion's share of the funding, of the existing full members, rather than them taking a haircut in order to fund Ireland and Afghanistan, they put the burden on the associates. And nothing could more clearly the media deals and the other commercial deals which ICC increasingly makes has the amount of money available has risen exponentially over the past 20 years. And most of it goes to the full members, and within that, the lion's share is taken by India, and then to the rest of the full members, who already have very considerable income from their own local deals. The BCCI, to take the clearest case, the BCCI not only gets a large grant from the ICC, but for domestic bilateral cricket and for international bilateral cricket played in India and for domestic cricket in India, they have separate media deals, as Australia does, as all the full members do, with their own local media outlets. So they have a basic budget which comes from their own resources, plus on top of that, a huge grant from the ICC. And the smaller associates have to get by with a few thousand dollars a year. Never, to use another biblical quote, never truer that to those that have shall be given. and it's outrageous.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Gang of Three, the BCCI,
yep.
ECB, and Cricket Australia.
Yep.
You describe them as greedy. How and why did you arrive at this conclusion?
By using my eyes, basically, and listening. Everything that has happened in international cricket over the past 20 years has been dominated by cricket administrators, not only in those three countries, but very significantly in those three countries, seeking to maximize the profitability of cricket above all else. How many examples do you need? India threatening to pull out of a tour of South Africa in order to get their own way over a specific incident. The ECB launching the 100 as this revolutionary new competition without regard to the consequences, I believe, without regard to the consequences for other formats, including T20, and indeed the domestic one-day competition, simply because they thought they could get more money that way. And if you look at the development policies of such countries, if you look at the BCCI's attitude towards the creation of a women's IPL, which brings us back to the question of franchises, of which I only answered part, I think. The commercialization of cricket, particularly in those three countries, but not only in those three countries, it has advantages, obviously, in terms of making more money available. But then the question is, what do you spend that money on? And I think then it's a subtler question, a more complex question. And there are other people who know more about this in relation to the specific countries. Gideon Hay, for example, who writes constantly and very, very effectively about Australian cricket politics. It's a genuine question whether those three countries and indeed the fan base in those three countries are getting value for money from the vast resources, comparatively vast resources, which those countries are able to bring in. One of my bugbears is the talk about markets. If you go back 15 years, I.S. Bindra's recommendation to the ICC was that the ICC should focus on the United States and China, because those were the two biggest potential markets for cricket.
Mm.
Now, whether China ever was a serious market for cricket is a question we could debate. And I don't believe it was. I think the United States is. And you guys will know much more about the ins and outs of this than I do. But if you look at the history of cricket governance and organization in the United States over the past 20 or 30 years, it's fairly clear that it has been, shall we say, a checkered history, and attempts to set things on the rails by, among others, the ICC, who at one point suspended the existing organization and stepped in and tried to create a new one. I think progress is clearly being made. Even from the outside, it looks as if progress is being made. But it's not unqualified progress. There are still problems. And that is, in a way, in conflict with the perception that there is a huge market. Yes, there is a huge market. I was talking to you, Dennis, the other day about a novel by Joseph O'Neill called Netherlands, which is about league cricket in New York. It's about a lot of other things, but it's also about league cricket in New York in the aftermath of 9/11. There is huge potential in the United States, but the question is how you actualize that, how you realize that, and how you ensure that the money that you do have, which is not enough, is spent in ways which really does create more cricketers on the field.
Yes, thank you.
That's the most important thing.
Now, let me continue in this direction, because you said ICC is an unfit governing body for cricket. Why do you consider ICC an unfit governing body? If you had the opportunity, what would you replace the ICC with?
It's not just me saying that. Look back to Lord Wolfe's review. Lord Wolfe was commissioned by the ICC to produce a report, to do a review and to produce a report on the current functioning of the ICC. That was in the aftermath of the extraordinary decision by the ICC board in the wake of the 2007 World Cup, not only to reduce the 50-over World Cup to 10 teams, but to restrict it to the then 10 full members. Decision created such a storm that they were forced to walk it back. When they did walk it back and keep a 10-team World Cup but open up at least a notional qualification process for it, they punished the associates who had objected by reducing the number of teams in the T20 World Cup. Which is a fair indication of the way the ICC Executive Board is prepared to operate. In the wake of all of that, it was decided that even the ICC Board was forced to accept that they needed a review. So Lord Wolfe, who was a prominent retired British judge, was brought in to conduct the review. And he produced a report which is devastating in its critique of the financial arrangements of the ICC, the political arrangements of the ICC, and their governance in general. And within a week, the BCCI said, this document takes us nowhere, and binned it. But literally, Lord Wolfe said, the ICC is not fit for purpose. And although there have been a few changes, over the, 10 years nearly now, since Lord Wolfe's report was handed in, I don't believe that judgment is any less true now than it was 10 years ago. I think it's important. There are some very good people working in the ICC. And I often think about the ICC as being like a national government. Maybe any global governing sports body is. Because you've got, on the one hand, you've got the executive board, and the people behind the executive board, who are, if you like the politicians, the parliament or whatever. But then you have the civil service, the public service, who are the people who are involved in umpire management, tournament organization, and financial control, and every aspect of the directly cricketing aspect, but also the support aspects of the entire operation. And many of them do a good job. Not all of them, I think, but many of them do a good job. But they have to do that job within the remit that they are given, within the strategic objectives which are set for them by the executive board and by the CEO, who is directly responsible to the executive board. And we've seen how the executive board of the ICC deals with its CEOs. You only have to read Malcolm Speed's book about his time running the ICC. Dennis Richardson has never really come out about what his experience was. But they have gone through a lot of CEOs, and few of them have left happy, I think. So there are fundamental weaknesses in a structure where an executive board consults only the interests of its own constituency, and as far as I can see, no one else, who come to the table asking not what's good for cricket, but what's good for my organization. And necessarily, it's the big guns. It is still the BCCI, the Cricket Australia, and the ECB who have the most weight and who are able to throw that weight around and do so on a regular basis. What would I replace it with?
Yes.
How would I change it?
Yeah, what would you change it? Make it better.
Yeah, it's a huge question, isn't it? Wiser heads than mine have looked at the structure. Somehow it has to be made more representative. It has to be made more independent of the big national boards. The national boards will never agree to that. In wild moments, you think, well, the associates are getting so little out of the ICC. What is the point? Why do they stay? Well, they stay because they do get some support. Even the little ones get a small amount of funding. They get the fact that they are members of the ICC, which is something which they can use to their local, to their National Olympic Committee, for example. We haven't even talked about the Olympic Games, but there's another can of worms.
Yes.
Again, held up for years and years and years because the BCCI was against it. So solely, really, because the BCCI was against it. So it's very hard to see a solution. It needs strong coalition of forces, which would include some of the more powerful full members,
right,
to say, we have had enough of this. We recognize that if we compare ourselves with the International Rugby Board, if we compare ourselves with the Global Hockey, Field Hockey Association, if we compare ourselves with basketball, if we compare ourselves with other global governing bodies of team sports, we can see that they have development plans genuinely geared towards a staged expansion of our international tournaments, men and women, which aim to give a greater say to the smaller powers, which ensure that the game genuinely does grow, and that the growth in the game on the field is reflected in changes in governance, increasing influence, if not power, to more and more countries.
You mentioned Jeff Allardyce was appointed as in the administration. What was it about Allardyce administration role that caused you to question his appointment? He has now left, of course, and gone on elsewhere. But what was it that caused you to consider an appointment not up to par?
Well, I'm not sure I said that. I don't think I've ever said that.
His appointment caused you concern?
Caused me concern was that having only just been appointed, he was sent out to defend the indefensible.
Oh,
he had my sympathy. That was the point about my joke about having targets painted on your shoes so you can shoot yourself in the foot more accurately. It was just that he'd only just started in the job. He'd had to go through the nonsense of the abandonment of the Super League, the 13-team Super League. And the next thing that happens is he has to go out and say, but look at all this wonderful stuff we're going to do.
Why did he leave so quickly then?
I genuinely don't know. But honestly, would you stay in that job?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of room in there for head scratching, shall we say. One of the points that you were very strong on was associate member budget allocations.
Yeah.
You have spoken most forthrightly about the budget allocation to associate members. You may not be aware of the exact dollar amount for each associate, but my question is whether or not you are aware of the percent decrease in the allocation of funds, and can you stand by your view that the Gang of Three is responsible for the decrease?
Well, the budget allocations are agreed by the executive board. And I am in no doubt that the most influential voices in the executive board are those of the Gang of Three. I do see figures from time to time, not that I'm necessarily supposed to, but I do see figures from time to time. The budget allocations are based on a formula. The formula itself is based on on-field performance, but a lot of other criteria as well. One of the fundamental problems, and this actually takes us into some interesting country, I think. One of the fundamental problems is that each country, each associate country, I'm sure this doesn't apply to the members, but each associate country has to supply an annual return of playing numbers, of umpire numbers, coach numbers, of teams, of grounds, the number of turf pitches, a whole range of criteria, which are then ranked. So this is a different sort of ranking from the rankings we were talking about earlier. But each one is ranked. So if you have, let's say you have among the associates, the more umpires than 26 other countries, then you would be ranked 27th from the bottom on that criterion, and that is then weighted and fed into a formula which determines how many $1,000 you get for the following year. Those figures are self-reported. They are theoretically verified. How do you verify how many pitches there are in a country? How do you verify how many teams there are in a country? when you realize that the regional offices, the five regional offices of the ICC, so Americas, Europe, Africa, Asia, and East Asia Pacific, when you realize that those were substantially cut down, their funding, their staffing were substantially reduced at the same time that the high-performance program was decimated. And effectively, the global strategy from 2000 to 2010 was abandoned. One of the consequences of that was that the regional offices were given substantially reduced resources. If you want to check the number of teams, the number of actual competition matches, the number of coaches or umpires in, let us say, Suriname, how do you do that? The only way you can do that is by going to Suriname and looking. Does anybody have the time and the resources to do that? When was there last a check on, for example, Suriname? Let me tell you, Suriname is not a random example. And I'm not going to say any more than that.
Well,
so,
okay.
But I know for a fact that countries, and now I'm not specifically talking about Suriname, I know for a fact that countries have cooked the books, have claimed, have counted, for example, when asked how many pitches there are, have counted every lane on a five pitch square as a separate turf pitch. Yeah?
Yeah.
So you inflate the number of turf pitches by a factor of five.
Okay.
That kind of thing. And lying about membership numbers. I know that countries lie about membership numbers, about the number of clubs they have. And there is no check. So the system is fundamentally flawed. In a sense, it matters less because the amounts of money now available to the smaller associate members are so tiny that the advantages of fraud are relatively small.
Mm.
But still, it's a broken system. My point is, it's a broken system, and it seems that the ICC doesn't care.
Thank you. Let me find out if Jay Tim has any.
And there is where we're going to leave you folks for now. And you have heard from Mr. Roderick. Dennis? Let me see if I can bring back in Dennis and the group. We have Simon. We have Mr. McKenzie. We have everybody. Let's see. Try to bring them all back in. So we have Audley. Audley, what do you make of that episode?
Well, he seemed to be a man who knows what he's talking about. Obviously, he has to be in some high places or well-positioned, so to speak. And a lot of what he's saying, you know, I mean, you could definitely agree with him, what he's saying. I'm not going to go 100%, but you could go with him and you see what the line that he was on, you know. And plenty of what the big three and, you know, what they're talking about and so forth. And even with this party, we're talking about the clubs lying about, our countries lying about how much clubs they have. I can't believe that something like that. A thing like that is so easy to verify. Something like that is so easy to verify. That, they just do it and they got away with it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there ought to be some real tardiness going on.
Let's welcome McKenzie. Let's welcome Simon. Gentlemen,
Mr. Francis.
Yes, sir.
Can I just go off a little bit? I was waiting because my granddaughter, she was waiting. I think she's listening now. So I just want to wish my granddaughter, Ariana Smith, a very, very, very happy birthday. And it's her 11th birthday. It's 11 years old on the 26th of this month. And I just want to tell you, your granddad love you out of this world, and I miss you, and I'll see you sometime soon, but just enjoy your birthday. And thank you very much, Mr. Fine, for this little opportunity to get back, to let her...
Call her name again. Call her name again.
Ariana Smith.
Ariana Smith. Ariana Smith.
Ariana. Thank you very
happy
much.
Birthday. So right. Say all of us. Ariana. Ariana Smith.
And yes, so
we have to get that name right.
Yes, get it right. Okay, we have Ivor on, we have Mr. McKenzie on, we have Simon on.
Mr. McKenzie's up.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
McKenzie's going to come in, and then Ivor
nice
come in, and then
nice
Simon
to,
come in.
Nice to see you guys on the radio, man.
All right.
Yeah, I really like the discussion or the perspective from that gentleman. There's a lot of there's a lot to be digested, and there's a lot to be pulled apart, and I would like us to really look at that argument very closely and see exactly where we go and how the ICC can expand cricket throughout the world. It's a gigantic task. It's very philosophical, and it would involve a lot of people and a lot of money.
Amen.
But I'm not throwing cold water on it, but I'm just opening our eyes to the possibilities that's out there.
Okay, let's hear from Ivor, and then afterward we take Simon with his question. Go on, Ivor.
Yes,
come on
well,
in,
the gentleman
Ivor.
Has echoed. The gentleman has echoed much of what we have said here before about the big three. And we thought with Dave Cameron putting his name in the hat and to be snubbed by the West Indies, the present West Indies Cricket Board, now hearing from him, I think that was a travesty. And I would hope that the powers that be in the West Indies should hear this and knowing that the ICC needs fixing. As Ardy would have said, the guy seemed to be in the know. Maybe he's not calling names because Dennis asked him a few questions that as if he would have revealed his source. He's not going to do that. But I think having heard him, I think he has an insider. He knows some of the stuff that's going on. And ICC needs fixing, especially with the big three concern. That's my take on that.
Okay. How about you, Mr. Who didn't speak on the topic? Anybody that want to say anything on Roderick? Leal? He is...
You want me to go?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just like I always say, especially when I talk about India bullying the ICC, like running the ICC, that come down to be the same thing. If you have those three, if you have 15 teams in the ICC, members of the 15, how come is only three making the decision for the rest 12? I mean, it's totally unfair. It don't make no sense. You have all these teams inside there, or somebody representing this team, and then only certain people making decisions. Oh, I only want to play here. I only want to give money to there. This is what we say goes. The other 12 other associated other members of the ICC can't say nothing. So why sense you have them there? Everybody should have.
Where is Virgil? Virgil left us. So, Simon, pick it up until Virgil comes back. So I know you are.
Okay. Good evening to you, Mr. President.
Good
and
have a seat.
Dennis and Cardinal, Audley, Virgil, I just heard him, Mr. Patel, Jet Knife is coming on, Ivo Henry, Mr. McKenzie,
Simon,
and all our faithful listeners in all of the world. I want to say a very hearty good evening to all, and have a very safe week this week. And everybody be safe.
Simon, let me
just came on the tail end of your speaker, so you could listen later on some things that he said. I didn't know exactly what time he was coming on, so I didn't get any message on my computer. I was checking, but I didn't get anything.
Hold one moment. Let me see if Virgil is back with us. Virgil, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. You can hear me?
Yeah, you want to finish up then? You finish up. I think we cut you off before. You just finished.
Yeah. I said you have 15 members of the ICC from different countries, and how come it's just three members making all the decisions for these other countries? I mean, that's why the cricket is like stifling in a sense, because it's only three teams, as I said, bullying the ICC, which is certain team make the decision for the other team, and it should not. Every if you have a country in the ICC ranking, every country should have the same vote as the top team. If you have 10 teams in there, the top team and the bottom team should have the same vote. You cannot make the decision from the three top team. It's going to destroy the cricket because they're going to want it to go the way how they want it to go. And we need to stop this. The ICC have to do a little bit better than what they're doing. And I agree with what the guy was saying. I can agree with a lot of stuff that he was saying because he was so very, very, very interested in what he was saying about.
Okay. Dennis, you want to come back? I think you had some other background information that you want to share with us as well.
I do have a lot more in terms of questions that I wanted to put to Rod. But unfortunately, because of the time constraints, because the entire interview you've only heard one part of it, was about 1.5 hours. And in that time period, we did not cover half the material that we wanted to discuss. So I've asked Rod if he would come back and join us on another occasion and give us some more. But in the meantime, we still have another at least 35 to 40 minutes of questioning that we could share with the panelists on another occasion. Maybe not today, but on another occasion. But to follow up on one or two points that was raised, for example, the budget allocations being based on ranking, and of course ranking is based on the structure. What that brings to mind for me is the fact that the present Cricket USA or USA Cricket, whichever the terminology is correct, does have membership numbers published in that if you join the website, you can view the entire list of members. So when the USA Cricket says we have X number of members, you can easily verify that the names are there. I don't know that you can see that, so you can actually, the Cricket USA also would have an accurate count of the number of pitches. So that again confirms what I observe here in the U.S. as the directions that they're moving in. Now, Virgil is concerned about the vote in the organization, that is the 10 members. We have to remember that originally when cricket was at its zenith earlier in the maybe 20, 30 years ago, there were just those 10 members. So, of course, once they started to open up more, it was obvious that they would set the rules and the regulations. And it's a matter of chomping away at those rules and regulations to get adaptation and changes to suit, the entire body. And Mackenzie's point, people and money. Well, yes, it is important, people and money. And as he's pointed out, those are people in control of making the rules can make the money situation, the rules as to how the money situation would be used. And finally, for Simon, I'm sorry you appear not to have gotten the message, but I can assure you that when the messages were sent out, I did double count, and I'm sure 100% that you were advised. So do check your email carefully for these messages. Back to you, Leon.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I'll do that. I'll check it.
Yeah. And I want to just thank Dennis for the wonderful work he's done because he found this article. And it was written last year, but it was so provocative that he said, Leon, you got to read this. And I have also published it on my Facebook account and sent it out to a number of people, the article that was written, and I found it to be amusing. Well, I just want to just bring one point. The Indians are saying, listen, we produced about 85% of the funding for the ICC, and why should we be limited for a smaller portion? And I have the feeling that India is moving towards going alone and just operate as a T20 team because they're about to start the Women's T20 League IPL. And if they can pay guys $1 million for 5 weeks, I'm sure we're going to have some contention of the going up by it alone. But nevertheless, let's wait until
Leon, if they start, it's not, it would be unprecedented. I mean, Australia has a female big bash going for years.
No. My question, my thought is that if they are saying, why should we give ICC so much money and we can make it for ourselves alone?
You know, money makes things run. It hollers, it cries. Money, I mean, almost everything, right?
But, yeah.
And if you're in a position where you are delivering such a big package, most of the money to the ICC are weird. I mean, you want to have some clout too, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you have $1 billion and you kill someone and I have nothing and I kill someone, you should get away with it?
No killing him, Virgil.
I'm not saying that, but just commit a crime. Both of us commit the same crime. You have $1 million and you walk off me and I go to jail.
Virgil, you're conflating things here. Right? What really happened?
No, you were talking about money.
Virgil, you're not listening to me now. You're running ahead. I'm saying this is how it goes in the world. I'm not saying it's right.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm saying this is how it goes in the world. And honestly, by the way, with the sort of clout, the sort of money and things that they are putting in, you have certain countries, different governments in the world. That's why you have the G5 summit. Those are the five top countries that meet and decide certain things, and the rest of the world declare to the rest of the world. And it's just a fact. America is huge and in everything, economy and whatever. Largest China coming up, but they're larger than China, right? So they're going to dictate certain things, and we little people from the Caribbean can dictate to them and say, no, you have to do so, because they're going to laugh at us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are big and large, they are going to be in control. And I'm saying a vote should be a vote, but if you have a little island with say 5,000 people, and you have an island with 500,000 people, you think they're going to have the same representation?
I will answer the question to you. Yes, in FIFA they do.
Well, FIFA, that's
each and every one of them have a vote. Don't care what size it is, FIFA
have a block, just like how they have CASAFA, the Caribbean thing we want to represent. So one vote for the entire Caribbean. You don't have individual countries that vote.
Go ahead.
It wasn't like that. I don't know if they changed it, but it wasn't like that.
No, you don't have individual. That's why you have one summit that represented that region. So just like how Dave Cameron would have been represented this region if they put him up for the ICC thing and the West Indies didn't put him up. It's not individual islands or countries.
Each one of these countries played together, so each one of them have a vote. Different than the West Indies cricket team.
You're talking about the heart of a different color.
What I was saying, that is, it seems unfair for India to be producing so much income for the ICC and they're not getting a fair share. And that is the contention that they're drawing. You know, if I'm producing so much money, I can do it for myself and get and keep all those money. But anyway, let's move on because Simon, we have to bypass your question for tonight, right? You take
no, that's okay with me. That's fair with me.
Well,
because I didn't hear the Yeah, I didn't hear the speech from the gentleman, so I'd like to hear some of what he said.
Okay, because Simon, to be honest...
Well, if you're going to listen to that, may I actually have a question. So
you
got to
go back to the show and listen to it, because we send out the notices about the gentleman, tell him what time he's going to come on. You didn't read your notices. Please help us, because we can't keep back the other folks. Because you didn't hear. It's a long speech. We didn't, couldn't play most of it. We want to play a part of it. We're going to play another part another time. The quality will be the best. We try our utmost.
All right, thank you.
So we're
going to
go back. We're going to go back for those who did not talk on the West Indies. And we'll open also for if you have anything to say about the four-day championship. So I know Ivor wasn't on. So why don't you go ahead, Ivor. Say, have your say. You can pick both topics and just... give your take on the West Indies loss this week, and of course the championship.
For the competition, the wet ball, you know, that's my favorite kind of cricket. That's where you're putting the icing on the cake, where we're using our mental faculty to play cricket instead of bang, bang, lulu. First two rounds of matches were played. Congrats to Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago. They have held the wins. Guyana and Leeward, they two have gone in the winning column. But more so, individuals who are really showing up and putting their, I don't say put their names in the hat. I would hope that with a new set of selectors, Haynes and what's his name, Sawan especially, I would hope that they really come to the fore and get away from the old boys club. And really have a look in at individuals who can make up a team. Because sometimes we look at individuals who does not fit into a team, and that they think we're wasting this going wrong. Now, let me talk about Dowich. I don't think Dowich should just walk back into the West Indies team, because he played on a flat pitch in Barbados and made a couple of runs. They're looking for an opening batsman. I don't believe that, what's his name from the Jamaican captain there?
Campbell.
That made 100.
Campbell.
Should just make one inning with 100 and walk back in, because he made it in Barbados and in front of the selector. I listened to Andrew Mason and those guys. Already they picked him with one inning of 100. I'm taking the consistency of the Thomas and the Powells and those guys who are up with the runnings. I'm looking at those guys first. Are we gonna discard Blackwood, who we'd have elevated to opening when the youngster got knocked out?
Philanzo.
Well, Philanzo. I mean, so we're looking for opening batsman, but already these guys are looking at one inning and say, this is the comeback kid. I'm not ruling him out, really, but I cannot do that. And I hope they're not doing that. We have to look for team.
Let me ask Mackenzie.
I guess it was after the money selector, so I'll say Desmond Haynes is a selector.
Yeah, go
and Sawan. But I wanted to speak on that too, because I do not think it is fair for Simmons to come in and select no team down in England, in India, getting bashed all over, and to have a big say in selecting this team. It's going to be more of the same. He is down there, and he's going to be one of the selectors. They would have appointed Brathwaite as captain, so I would imagine Brathwaite is playing in his game. I don't know how Brathwaite can sit and captain and pick a team with not seeing matches in Trinidad. And we decide, well, I'm going to sit around and pick. What are you going to do? Pick from a book? So we must get other persons who are involved to look at these games. At one time, I understand, two selectors were in Barbados, Sawan and Haynes. No selectors was in Trinidad, looking at those matches over there. That cannot be right. So when they're coming up with these teams, they're going to go either from commentators' comments or just go in a book. Don't know how they got to their runs, but they're going to see 55 runs, maybe with four chances. That does not go in the book. Not running well between the wickets. That does not go in the book. So we have to look past the old way of doing things. But thanks for the 4 day. West Indies, you say you want me to attack that as well? West Indies performed poorly down in India. And I don't want to hear anybody saying they were in India and it's hard to play in India. The only place I used to hear hard to play and win was in New Zealand. So we carried a team to India, and I'm going to say this. The board would appoint captains and vice captains. Here we are appointing Pollard for the white ball captain, but in the 2020 version, we have a vice captain, Puan. In the white ball 50 overs ODI, we have Hope as our vice captain. Puan is in both teams. So they elevate him for 2020. I shouldn't elevate him. They elevate Hope to the 50 overs. And Puan is in the same team. But hear this. For two of the matches, Pollard was not available. They say he has some kind of problem. I don't know what he has. I haven't heard it officially. But the vice captain who the West Indies Cricket Board appoint to be the vice captain as the 2IC to take over the team, Puan is on the same team, leading an official vice captain. Are you telling me that something is not going on in that camp? Odin Smith. There is something is going on in Odin Smith. We would have seen him bowl one over, drop the next match, batting at number 9 and number 10, coming back, not giving a full slate of anything. And then when you hear that there is some discrimination going on, the coaches, I should say the one coach and the captain, they seem to be up in arms and using all kind of threatening words and all kind of language, strong language, for people who have concerns about West Indies cricket. I am saying something is going on in that camp and need to be looked after.
Mr. McKenzie, wait your turn, please. Sorry. Everybody wants to hear. Your time now. Go on. You're going to have a lot of time, but if you take up someone else's time, you're going to rub yourself up sometimes. So go ahead, Mr. McKenzie. Give us your take.
Yeah, I think it's time for the courts to go. We just live in India with the shellacking. 6 matches, we don't even win one. All right? They're coming back home to play England, and I just don't want to think about what's going to happen there. I think the whole structure of West Indies cricket needs a complete overhaul. And the selection of a team, to me, is not good enough. We must confine people who can put up a better resistance at international level. Okay? So we just need a complete overhaul, take a time off, and look at what we have, what we are doing, who's doing what, and decide that at the moment the West Indies team not going anywhere. We are still number 9, and we're not going up. We just sit down there, right? And it's not good enough for us. We can do better than what we're doing now. Back to you, sir.
Let's say hello to Jatsna. How are you? We missed you last week. How are you?
I got busy last week. It was early last week, right? That was.
We thought you went to India to help.
Oh.
But they need you more in New Zealand and India because you're getting a beating over there in New Zealand.
I know, right? Yeah. Unfortunately.
Anything from your end?
Here, everybody's fine. Thank you. Go ahead, sorry.
No, yeah, go ahead. I was just asking you.
Just want to say good evening to everybody. Yeah.
Good evening to everybody.
Good evening. Lena was giving you the real reason why Justin was here, because we wish happy Valentine Saturday and Sunday. From Monday, that's what it was.
She took it off. She took it to heart. Simon, what say you? Come on, Simon. Jetna's on. You know, you usually say hello to
good
Simon.
Evening to you, Jetna. Hope you had a wonderful week last week. And hoping for a much better week this week. Want you and your whole family to be safe.
All right. Audley.
Thank you.
Come on in, Audley. You have some more to add. We didn't expand on it a lot in the up front, so go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. So I was saying that commiseration is something that usually you do at the end of a series.
Mm-hmm.
But before, I'm going to recommend that whenever the West Indies is about to board the flight to the next series, that they read that they read that before they go, because we know it's going to be coming. It's like every time that we go, and we saw the same thing in the ODIs as well as the T20, and it's all the same thing, the same script, you know. And on this occasion, I can tell you spoken about it already. The batting is not that bad, because not everybody, you know, really produce it. But if you make 160-something runs or thereabout, I'm not saying it's an ideal score, but then if you have with some good bowling and fielding and things, you should be able to defend that or even end in a close fight. But the problem is the bowlers. That's what's been happening. I don't know if they can bowl defensive or maybe somebody said some low yorkers, you know, or something. But somehow the Indians are working the bowlers out, and we need some good depth over bowlers, right? That's why Bravo is so deadly, you know, with coming up on those slow balls and, you know, missed time hooks and stuff like that. We need to have some, the coach need to definitely have a set of bowlers. Right, you know, you're gonna be, and I know. Sometimes it depends on conditioning and so forth. But if we should get about two or three bowlers, and let them know that they are gonna be bowling in the deck, right, when it comes to whether ODIs or especially the T20, and show what the way they're gonna bowl, the line they're gonna bowl. I know different batters present different problems, so therefore you're gonna bowl, have a left-hander batting, and show how you're gonna bowl if the person is a left-hander as to being a right-hander. They have to plan ahead. You can't just pull a man and say, okay, look, you know what happened? You're gonna face the fight. You're gonna bowl the last over, and you have 20 runs or 25 runs. They still knock it off easily. And that's a problem. That's a problem we're having. We need to have plans ahead how we are going to work out certain batters, and if it's left or right, and you know, how much runs, what they're going to do, how we're going to bowl, you know, and so forth. So the problem we need to, I don't know what else to say. As I said before, we just need to read that we saw we didn't do well and stuff like that, and we are planning to do better next time. Whenever they're about to board the flight to another tour. That's it.
Dennis, finish up your take on that. Then we'll move on. Dennis, come in. Dennis, not with us. Okay. Let me just add.
Yeah, thank you, Leon. I'm here.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out to Ivor a couple of things he said, that Campbell only had, what was that, one inning, 127. But, you know, Campbell as an opener, and I'm not defending Campbell because of my nationality. I'm simply pointing out that Campbell has had three innings, one of 25, one of 45, one of 127. So whatever selection, if he's considered, and I did raise the point earlier, it's not going to be based on just that one innings. Blackwood scored two innings of 61 and 44. That's just to, you know, update Ivor on those scores. Now, Ivor also said that he doesn't understand how this selector can be in India and then make a selection. And I agree with Ivor on that point sincerely. And as far as Simmons as a selector and a coach, I've long said before many times that I think he should be relieved of both posts, you know, without any
in it without any delay. Another point.
Money. Lawsuit.
I'm sorry. It needs to be really. Pollard mentioned that Ivor mentioned that he wasn't sure if Pollard is healthy right now. And I think Leon pointed out earlier that he had observed Pollard with an inhaler on the field of play in this very last match. So quite likely there is something seriously involving with Pollard and his health. As far as captaincy, what I do not understand is you appoint someone as captain for a series. Does that mean you cannot remove the captaincy from him after one or two games if you find that he's not performing? This is a crazy idea that you're going to appoint a captain for a series and come hell or high waters, he cannot be removed. So I would certainly like to see that, that the captaincy isn't for an entire series, but on a match basis and produce bowlers. Again, as Audley has said, and I think I've also made that comment, is that the coach, as far as the bowlers are concerned, West Indies do not have bowlers who are capable of penetrating batting when the chips are down. Too often our bowlers are coming up and giving these half volleys, which is simply just helped over the fence. Why can they not learn to attack the stumps low and with the Yorker length ball? Yes, they can get a single, but that's 6 runs in 6 balls, not 24 runs or 30 runs in 6 balls. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done for the West Indies team, and it involves coaching, and players. If players feel they cannot be coached, then you don't select them for the team. Let them go earn their money someplace else. We need dedicated people who are going to take the advice of the coach, and we need coaches who are going to give advice and give good advice. Thank you, Leon, and it's back to you.
Yeah, let me get my piece. Thank you all for that. But I'm just going to start with the captaincy. I think today, when you look at a match, you saw Puran batting like the captain. Normally, you're not in good shape, meaning Pollard. You try not to be going aggressive. You just try and work the ball until you get your eyes in. He's going for the big shot. And when I saw him with the inhaler this morning, I said, well, if you are sick or you're not well and your sinus is acting up, let Pollard, let Puran captain the match, and you sit out. Just sit out. He's doing a good job, and I'm glad today that they finally brought in Walsh. The guy bowled excellent. I mean, for a leg spinner, I usually see him come with a long hop, but he was bowling well, and that ball on card that he dropped, firstly, that was a hard chance, but normally that's something that he would pull off. But all in all, I liked Odean Smith. I don't know why they prefer the other guy, Shepherd, ahead of him, but I like Odean Smith. Odean Smith is a player that I think has a lot of talent, and he just needs to be facing up against good condition. And do you folks know that Chase had the joint most wickets? He had 6 wickets in the tournament. 6 wickets in the T20 tournament.
And he's doing very well.
Yeah, he bowled well.
As a bowler, he's doing well. Yeah.
And he gets three. Folks, let me continue. He got $3 million wicket. $1 million wicket. He got the captain, Sharma. He got the Kohli, and Iowa.
Captain.
The Iowa, the guy that was the most going to Mumbai Indians. $3 million wicket draws are. I'm telling you, those are good wickets. But I'm coming back to Walsh. I say West Indies should never go into a T20 side without Walsh or Allen. They may not give you the runs with the bat. They may not take a lot of wickets, but when you have them between cover and gully, they save a bunch of runs and can bring off some big, good catches. And they can chase down balls where many of the other fielders are. And turning to the batting, Puran has 184 runs. Let me see how much. Puran has about 80-something runs ahead of everybody else, including the Indians. So I'm saying West Indies have got to look back and say whether or not Pollard is the right thing. I used to back Pollard, but when the time comes for him to relieve himself, if he's not well, let us get somebody and put in his place. Because at this time, we have gotten too many close runs and close losses. Since 2009, one win West Indies have in India. So we got to do something better than that. And Pollard is not the Pollard of say a year ago. For me, he just push him pad and just put his pad out to hit him outside the off stump. And sometimes he nearly got LBW today because they may have concluded that he didn't play a shot. Shot on the ball hit him outside the off stump, but he could have come in to hit the stumps. And with regards to the four-day tournament, I'm going to give West Indies Cricket Board a lot of praise for the bringing off this wonderful tournament. No one can deny the fact how beautiful watching, sitting down in the living room and watching on YouTube, free of cost, you can see all the matches. And you may not be able to get all the details right up, when I say details in terms of scorecards and so, right away. But the fact is, we were enjoying it. I thoroughly enjoyed the 40 matches. And the Leewards, to me, got a hard time umpiring-wise against Barbados. I've seen LBW that the blind could have given that those out. When it come to Cornwall and Powell, they did not get the benefit of those. The umpire were just against them. But
Leon, let me back you up. I heard it elsewhere, the same thing, saying the umpire was horrible against the Leewards.
You talking about my colleagues, eh?
that's what I'm saying. But other than that, I am glad to see some young blood. The little boy, Moti, he stood up there and really, really defended Guyana to the last wicket. And what I'm seeing now, we stop having rabbits in our teams because everybody in the team is able to bat. Look how the youngsters from the Leeward Islands stand up there and bat. That's what you need to do. Bat. So don't be afraid if you see Thomas and you see Powell come back and you see maybe a couple of the other guys. Some guys over in the Windward Islands, left arm is bowling very good too. So I can't see for sure that Dowich is going to come back and the guy from Trinidad is going to replace. But I think the guy is Silver. And Hamilton in the Leeward is looking good. He's looking good as a keeper. He may not be making a lot of runs, but as a keeper, I don't think the Silver is such a wonderful keeper. But he is making some good runs.
But right now we need a keeper that can make runs.
Yes.
The main batter is not doing it. So yeah. We need a person who's going to keep and make runs too.
But I was a little disappointed with the opening, with the hope. I don't know. Where is hope going? Hope is making one step forward and about four steps backwards. I cannot. Guys, isn't that the truth? Me any hope in him at all, man. That is my take on him. So other than that, I'm enjoying the cricket. And there's so much cricket and T20 cricket that I forget about some of those other T20 leagues. I'm watching test cricket and four-day matches. So that's my take.
I think Narine lit up the Bangladesh, not Bangladesh, is it Bangladesh? Yeah. Premier League in the final. I mean, he scored a 15 in 13 balls. And the following day,
The following match in the finals, he scored another 57 in 20-yard balls. I mean, he was a toast of a town.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else has anything to say? That Simon, anything that we talked about that you want to?
Yeah, just to follow up something here.
I'd like to hear about the match between the West Indies and India.
Uh-oh.
Don't talk about that.
I don't understand that pick with Woot coming back into ODI.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a Desmond.
That was a disgrace, man.
Hines call. I think that was... I don't agree with that at all. And then, I'm sure he's going to play in the test match. He came back home, only played a few matches, and only bowled, 10 overs, which he didn't even bowl all 10 in a match every time, and come home playing in Barbados in the 40 match and sat down on the bench. Why didn't Woot play in this last match against Jamaica when we know we're going to play the 40 matches? Did he get burnt out in India for those three matches that they select him, bring him back? I don't think that was a good call. So Desmond Haynes, Dr. Desmond Haynes, I'm not in agreement with that one at all. So they need to go back and forget Woot and the Ram Pauls and those guys there when it comes to the white ball cricket. And let's clean house.
Amen.
Then you talk about Pollard. I hope it's not an excuse. This reminds me of half of Russell. They pick Russell to go sit down in St. Lucia over other people. Now they're doing the same thing with Pohan. If you're sick, you're sick. That is why you always have a game of cricket, one who shall be named captain. Anybody can name captain. And to say something what Dennis would have said, no, when you appoint a captain for a series or for whatever, you cannot go changing. You cannot. He has got to be either sick, but he's that's an appointment. Your vice captain don't have to play. But if your captain is fit, he has to play. If he's fit,
the only thing that I don't know. I can't prove that he didn't ask them to relieve him of that position. I don't know if he did that. So that's why I'm not commenting on it yet. But
no, you're saying he was out there with an inhaler. So I'm saying
the one that is picked. I was talking about Hope, who's vice captain. I'm talking about Hope, the vice captain.
No, Hope played in the match. Hope played in the both matches when Pohan captained the match.
Yes.
So it's not that he did not play.
No,
so once he's playing in the match and he was appointed vice captain, something is wrong with that. That needs to be investigated.
Yes,
is
because
it
what I was saying...
The team management who is there overriding the administration who would have appointed Hope as the official vice captain, and they made that decision down there to say, I'm giving my Trinidad and counterpart to be the captain and Hope will sit down. I'm not in agreement.
That's not the way I was going. I say, suppose he said to relieve him of the vice captaincy so he can concentrate on...
Well, that should be known. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. They didn't make no announcement, so we can't say that yet until we hear.
That's why we are here, Leon. That's why we're here, to bring these things out. Because we know a little bit about administration. We know a little bit about cricket.
I agree with you that, but I said, for me, I'm not going to make an assessment yet until I hear whether or not he did not say to let him off, take me from the vice captaincy, and let me concentrate on my bat. Some guys will do it, but I don't know if he did it. But if they don't do that, I feel that it was wrong. And if Pollard is sick and go out in my field with an inhaler pushing in his nose, I think he should not have gone out as the captain. He should just tell the boy, I'm not feeling well, and let Pooran take the side out and we pick somebody else. Because he looked the shadow of himself. He did not bowl, and he looked... When I see you pushing and inhaling your nose, something is not right.
Well, Leon, can I chime in here with that?
Mm-hmm.
Pooran. Collard was one of our better bowlers here against England. He did not bat against England.
Exactly.
But he bowled well, and he goes to England and in India, and Ardie said it, and others agree that our bowling is lacking something. And he's not bowling.
I don't know if he's
sick.
But
I'm saying this, and let the whole world hear.
Mm-hmm.
Pollard is not an international cricketer. Pollard is good for domestic cricket, especially where India is concerned, where he comes in the latter part of the inning, bats for maybe no more than 18 deliveries and make 30 or 41. That is his role in a Mumbai Indian team. In the West Indies team, he comes in a role that he does not perform in. He comes up, back up the order and tries to bat like a batsman. That is not his role. He's a woofer.
Okay. If somebody else wants to come in.
One more thing.
I have a question.
There is no way. One more
thing.
Just let me say, get one more thing in. You see how this guy ball well? Chase? Chase is no frontline bowler. Could you imagine what Walsh would have done? If they put the confidence in him, use him as they would have used Badri.
Badri, yes.
Just use him, give him the confidence.
Okay. Yeah,
if Chase can do that, our frontline spinner must be able to do something better than that.
Yep.
Thank you.
And today I felt he shouldn't bowl Chase either. He should keep Chase on the overs, but one lot of overs and just change them up and switch them around. So I don't think so, but I'm not a captain. So, Audley, go ahead. Make your point.
Yeah, I'll have this question. West Indies went to England and for the, I think, the five test series, and England changed three different captains. I think Cowdrey, Brian Close came for next. I don't know if Ray Ellingworth was going to start it. You said if a captain is appointed for a series, you cannot change him unless he's sick. So how that work out? Because I don't know if there
I don't know. We don't know the appointment that if they were appointed for the series.
For the series, no.
It could be when you're at home, you can do a whole lot of things, right? When you're at home, you can do a whole lot of things.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
And when you go, you make decision too. I mean, you make decision anytime. You don't have to be a hoop.
We're talking about appointments now. We're not talking about selecting a team.
You
select a team here, you would hear. Blackface is appointed for the first two matches out of a
Right. Sometimes they do it like that.
These are the things for the first
like
two.
Yeah.
They do it like that. Two, and then you go back again and begin another two. Because you're appointing somebody now.
He didn't say for the whole series, they just appoint him. So that's another thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah, he was on
tour. Yeah, he was appointed. He was appointed for captain
for the
series.
For the tour,
yes.
Those announcements were made.
You know, what really, I know some of these guys are not making a whole lot of runs. But they need to be a core set. Like, say, they have a 20, 21 players. And they did it a couple of times, and then they started the hop, skip, jump again. And each time, if a person is actually feel like they are on trial, each time they go, they're going to have this timorous feeling that when they get outside there, anything is going to happen, because if I don't score big, I'm going to be gone. So they need to. I know we might get some beating. But I don't know if that's in their mind. This is what they have embedded in the minds of those guys over there. Look, you're going to play in all three matches. You are going to do X, Y, Z. And give them the confidence. Because after they're out of the side for 2 years, they perform well in the regional tournaments and whatever. And then they get a pick for the side. They play like say T20 or ODIs, and the first match they play, they didn't make anything much.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing is like they're concerned now. They go nervous. Everything like that. What is going to happen? They're going to drop me again. So those guys, when they're coming back, especially if they have a very good regional tournament, let them know ahead of time, look, you are going to have this series already. The first two or the first three, if you have a five-set series, you're in for the first three. Don't worry about it. Relax. I want you to go there and cement your place in the side.
Amen.
But what happened most of the time is that they are not told that, and then they go out and they make a low score, and next thing again they're out of the side again. So they need to have some confidence that they have the selectors have confidence in them, and therefore they can settle down
but
and
that's
play the natural game.
Dennis want to come in. Dennis want to come in.
Okay, good. Come in, Dennis.
Hold on.
Thank you, Leon. Audley, with all due respect, Audley, these guys are professionals and they're highly paid. we have too many people, too many players to select from for you to be babying and carrying professionals who are making buckets full of money. When I'm appointed to work in my professional career, if I go in, they give me a probationary period of 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. After that, I'm evaluated. If I fail to produce, you know what's happening next week? I'm being shown the door. There should be no special treatment for these guys who are appointed to produce. If they don't produce, they should go. As far as the captaincy is concerned, you tell me, what is so absolutely disheartening to say to a player, you're captain for this match? There are so many players who could pick up the mantle and fit the captaincy. So I don't see why you have to appoint a captain for a series, and if he's not producing, you're still carrying dead weight. That is wasting resources.
That's not going to happen. The captain started the selection panel. You just can't get up willy-nilly out there at the highest level telling me you don't know who's going to captain the next match. No, no, no. You must look towards your captain as a mentor or what have you. You can't have that. I would never support such a thing. No.
Well, that's but my opinion, you have to only see what's happening with the T20s and the ODIs out there in India. And that should be in
because we have the wrong person at the helm. The team gelled better to me with Pohan as captain. Any blind man can see that. Pollard is not an international cricketer. We all know that. We see it. So why are we holding on to that? I wouldn't want to know that Pohan get hit. And we're going to start to tell Pohan, you're captain this match. And he's looking over his shoulder. I wonder if I'm going to captain the next match. Going to be 180. They're going to be playing the next match. You can't have that. So, I agree with Arnley. The captain
that's the probation. You call it, Dennis talking about. So you give them a three-match probation, so to speak, and they know that within that three matches, they don't have to worry about if they don't score big, they're going to get dropped for the next match. Give them the assurance. Mm-hmm. They need that assurance.
Mm-hmm. And I can say now that things have gone past. I used to be a selector for the Southeast region. You see that little Stephen Taylor?
Yes.
I would have gone to Stephen Taylor, his father, and tell him, come out and bat as free as you can. He has no problem. I am going to pick him as a selector, as a young man. I have done that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it now. I shouldn't have done it, but I've done it. Put nothing, relax him, relax. And I umpired in the same match too. And while he's batting, I say, have no fear, play your game. I'm not going to cheat for him. But I put confidence in him. Mm-hmm. But let him know, you have no fear. You're a young man. These old men up here who are playing, I'm saying that to myself. Their days are done. Our days are done. My days are done. Mm-hmm. You're on the horizon. I've done that. You must be able to do that. Arnley's right.
Okay, well, let me open the line for just a few minutes to Simon, because Simon has some very important questions he wants answered, but I urge Simon to come in a little earlier because we discussed everything else, and you are missing a lot of information. So, Simon, go ahead. Let me hear you. See if you can answer some questions for you.
No, I just wanted to hear the match between West Indies and India.
But West Indies won lose by some 15 runs?
8 runs.
17 runs. No, 18
runs, gentlemen.
17 runs today and 8 runs early in the week.
Okay. We lost the series.
3-0.
Yes, lost the series. 3-0. Anything else? It was no good news.
Okay.
They got an India wash.
India won all three. Any other questions?
And they get India 6 love. They get 6 love in tennis.
Dominoes.
Simon, we want to ask you a question. I hope you know the answer. Who was buried in Worrell's grave? Simon, who was buried in Worrell's grave?
Well, I'll say Frank Worrell.
Leon, can I put something to the fore here, Leon?
Go ahead.
Anybody remember Ed Meyers out?
Yes,
I think he handled the ball.
He handled the ball, yes.
Anybody know how that, what was recorded in the book?
When he would have
handled the ball?
Obstruction.
Yes, anybody know why?
Because...
And not just because
he
handled
the
ball.
Part of his bat, right?
I don't remember the incident.
No, it just happened this a couple of days ago in the league.
It just happened here. He handled the ball. But it's recorded as obstruction. This is for commentators and umpires. That's what has changed. They don't have any handling the ball anymore. So take a note of that, gentlemen.
No
he
handling
the field. That's
obstruction.
Yeah, there's no more handling. There's no more handling the ball.
Mm-hmm. And that's literally, that one of the questions I had to bring that this week. I saw it and heard it and said I was going to bring it, but I'm glad you reminded us. Because indeed I...
Yes, that's the answer.
...came to my attention. Virgil, your final thoughts, and of course, tell us anything you have on your mind. You have a lot.
I was discussing something about Hittmeyer. I don't understand. If you could explain a little bit what was the result after that incident or something like that.
No, he was given out. He handled the ball. Once ago, you know, when you hand the ball, you pick it up without the fielder asks you to pick it up. Upon appeal, once ago used to be given out handling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do the same thing, the appeal, and it will be recorded in the book. You're out the same way, but it will be recorded obstructing the field. There's no more handling the ball.
I was not aware of that. Wait. Let me just ask the question. Let me follow up on that. Who is credited with the wicket? Who is credited with the wicket?
No. The bowler doesn't get credit for that. Like a one-out, the bowler doesn't get credit.
It's obstruction.
Now, I'm asking you who is... The question is, who is credited with the wicket? I didn't say who.
No one. That's what I'm saying. It's
nobody,
like a one-out. Like a one-out. Nobody gets credit.
Team is credited with the wicket, right?
But
he won't record as team. It just wrote like handball.
He doesn't record as team. No.
Who's getting it? The opposing side?
All right. Let me tell you something right now. I'm in the most beautiful island in the Caribbean, which is Antigua. Okay? Yeah. Last couple of weeks, I was telling somebody about my knees. I've been having some problem with my knees. My knees have been swelling for the last 6 months. And I came over here, and Friday, it was swelling so bad, I had to go to the doctor, and he had to drain some fluid out of my knee and give me some medication. So it's feeling a lot better. Now, tomorrow now, we're having a race, they call it 600. If you want to see the most fastest boat in the world, sailing boat, down here, getting ready for the race, some of them from about 40 feet to like 100 and something feet. And they'll be started, we go Shirley Heights, just out Shirley Heights, they'll be starting from there, go around Barbuda, I think go around St. Martin or St. Kitts, St. Martin, St. Kitts, David, go all the way around to Montserrat, go to Guadeloupe, back to... I think Barbuda, and then back round to the Falmouth Harbour for that race. Normally, I think the record, that 600 was done by, I think, 20-something hours some year ago by a trimaran that win that race. So it's a lot of fast boat down here, and some of them just come just to try to break the record. And also, you know, we have a race that come across from somewhere off the continent of Africa, one of those islands, Canary Islands or something like that, they row across to Antigua. And I think probably they start in December, and I think the last, and probably about one or two more boats still out there, because one came in a couple of days ago, some of that. So they're still coming in slowly, but I think one more to go. But this big race here, there's a lot of boat down here, special racing boat for that race. So probably next week I'll give you another update with who we hear win the race or something like that.
Virgil.
Yes, sir.
Hold a while. I lived in Crosby on a hill before I came to the United States. I lived in Crosby, you know, on a hill. And one of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen is when those yachts come across the waters. I could just stay in my living room and just watch those boats come across from all over the world. And you just brought back
some feeling weak.
And you just brought back some good memories. I would hope that I would have been able to go back and
but
do that.
This race is like 600 miles. Nobody gets no sleep because, I mean, you're just underwater, beating the water for like, as I said, 30-something hours, and some of them will take a lot more than that. But they're just going. And the last couple of weeks, it's been blowing. The wind been very, very strong. And what happened a couple of years ago, the wind was strong until the day of the race, then the wind would come very quiet. One year, they had like about 3 or 4 boat capsized because it was so strong. The wind was so strong that year.
Right. But
when the wind die like that, they say you're dropping a hole.
That's more than a hole, man. But the sailors don't like that, man. They like the wind to blow because the more the wind blow, I mean, the boat will do some crazy stuff on the water right now. So
right,
tomorrow we're going up Shirley Heights Black House to watch the start of the race, probably about 10 o'clock or something like that.
Why don't you invite Jetna down, man, and tell her, bring her family down to Antigua.
I can put her on one of those boats and she can get that. We can put her on one of those boats and say she can race those boats, man.
Remember, years ago you invited Audley's sister down, you know, and you never lived up to your expectation. You didn't show up.
He invited me down.
He never comes. That's the problem. He never comes. So, I think the invitation was expired because it had a limitation. So in time, he expired at the invitation.
Okay.
All right, so folks, why don't we ask Jetna to say her final words, and we're grateful for your presence here today. Mr. Patel is not able to come on tonight, so Jetna, you have to talk for him as well. Jetna, you in the background. How about you, Virgil? Virgil. Yeah, say your final words to all the folks.
Okay, yeah, well, good winning by India. I'm proud of them, yeah. But the ladies are losing over there against England. So
New Zealand,
yeah, not England. Sorry, New Zealand. So like a mixed feelings, you know. One side is winning India, and the other side is not. But anyway, that is a cricket game, I guess. But I want to say good night to everybody. It was a great show again. And be safe. Take care. And I'll see you next Sunday.
Okay. Be safe. Before you go, Simon, are you aware? Simon, you're next up, but are you aware of the meeting that comes on Thursday evening at 8?
No. What time?
Did you read your email?
Well, I'm going to check it in the morning when I get up.
Okay, good. All right. So, folks, everybody, panelists, not the panelists, but the board members, we have sent out a notice for a meeting on Thursday evening. Those who can't make it, just indicate. And those who can, of course, it's going to be private, so just related to the board members. So, just a reminder.
Okay, I'll check it.
Your final words, Simon.
Yeah, well, I just want to say a very good evening to everyone. Everyone should have a very safe week. And as Mr. McKenzie would say, stay in your crease. And there's a wonderful show as usual. We learn a lot from this show. Have a wonderful evening all. And see you next week, Sunday, from 6 to 9 on The Cricket Show. Good night, all.
Good night. Mr. Francis, I think you should play the Tango Shortshirt at the end. When they have power and authority, they don't give a crap about nobody.
Well, if you have to hesitate, that means that we can't play. If you have to hesitate about the word.
He knows the song.
Yeah, I know the song, but what if I can find it? Yeah, go ahead. I got it. Whenever you're ready, I'm going to play that. I'm glad you tell me because I was just looking for one. Your final words to Virgil, and don't go because you like to hear short check.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. I just want to say that, I mean, to all the listeners, hope you guys enjoy the show and looking forward for another one again next week. And so next week I'll show you, give you a little update about that 600 race that's down in Antigua here. So good night to each and every one of you. Good
and you know All Saints win the two-day championship over in Antigua this weekend?
I didn't hear that, though.
I got the scorecard, but it was too small for me to read. So I know they have a two-day championship all over the island. So go ahead, Mr. Rodney, will send it to me. Okay, so who's next? Who's next?
I just want to say good night. India's a new captain.
All farm.
I'll see you on the radio next Sunday.
Okay. No, well, you see us Thursday night if you're not sleepy.
Okay. What time?
8 o'clock.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Check your email.
I check your emails too because we're going to send them out so you have some information to look up and see. We want to be able to have everybody on inform. How about you, Mr. Who's next? Yeah. Go ahead. Or you want to go with Dennis? Which one?
Okay, Leon, I'll go.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to remind people in leaving that, you know, we should be aware of the ICC Player of the Month for January. One under 19th player from South Africa has been nominated. And we have on the male side, and of course, Peterson from South Africa has been nominated. That should please Leon. And on the women's side, the West Indies have a nomination. Deandra Dutton has been nominated to become player of the month of January and the women's ICC player. And the other little note here is the World Cup prize monies for the runner-up of the Women's World Cup prize will get 600,000. The winner is likely to get somewhere in the region of $1.32 million. So we're very pleased to see the great stride being made in women's cricket, and of course because of the prize money and recognition of the young players at under 19 as being player of the month. So clearly there's a lot of things for us to be happy about as far as cricket is concerned for this particular period. Thank you all, and be safe, and I hope to see you all on the radio. On Thursday, don't forget the meeting. Check your emails, please. They are there, the information's there. Check your emails, including invitations.
You're saying it as usual, but it would be private. It would be a private meeting, not to the public. So,
it's sent to the members, supporters, remember. Thank you, Leon. It's back to you.
Okay, Ivor, your time to say goodbye to all your fans and well wishes around the world.
Yes, well, make it a great week, everybody. Come tomorrow, we're going to have Mr. Keith Atherton. He's having a birthday. I want to say happy birthday to him. Mm-hmm. And Carol Morton there. If you want to say happy birthday. So, all of Nevis, big up the big man, Keith Atherton. He's doing a whole lot of stuff back there for the youths, which is Academy. Both they think it's a Nevis, so just all hails to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll see you on the radio next week.
Okay, God's willing. How about you, Donna? Say your final words. I know you were listening intently, and I'm glad that you were
able to... Yes, have a good night. I enjoyed the show, and a good week to all. Blessings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and blessings to you as well. And how about you, Mertries? You all were listening to everything intently.
Cute. Well, have a good night. And the show was beautiful, invigorating, and amazing.
Informative.
So,
amazing.
Yes,
okay.
That's the word I'm looking for. Anyway,
okay.
You all have a good week. Have a blessed week and stay safe, everyone.
Thanks to being our company for the whole night. I tell you, you could find something else to do, but you chose to be with us. How about you, Mr. Audley? Finally, anybody I left out? I hope I haven't.
Okay, I just want to note the unfortunate situation for two players here. James Anderson is on 99 catches, needed one more to make 100 catches in test matches. Rahani is on 99 catches, needed another one to make 100 catches in test cricket. And unfortunately, both of them have been dropped by their side. So I'm hoping that they will get a chance to play at least another test or two and make that catch to make it 100 each. All right? So this has been another wonderful, wonderful, beautiful program, and I enjoyed it, of course, and wanted to have a wonderful week. But just before I go, final thought, and it comes from William James, that the great use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. Right, what we are doing, make sure we are investing in something that after we are passed, it will still be going on, others will be benefited from it. See you next week, God willing.
Yes,
one
indeed.
More time. God willing.
It was a wonderful show, and I am privileged to be able to monitor the show, and I thoroughly and immensely appreciate the honor that was placed on me to do the show. Good night. God bless.
How I rule the world today, how I corrupt this day, and absolute power corrupts you, absolutely. It can change a man who has a heart of gold, make him cruel, wicked, self-centered and cold. Many men in this land, many organizations, fought for freedom and justice throughout the land. When they have power and authority, they don't give a damn about nobody. Prostitutes in the island, squall and sundry, they peddling my people's rights. Exploiting, oppressing, less freedom, more suffering. I wonder how we survive. Think it over, my friend. Think it over again. Think it over, don't vex with me, shorty. Think it over, I'm singing at the sea. Oh, we can't even buy. Murder the price too high. Malnutrition killing the children while we the adults starving. Yet the price is rising without control. Young man begging bread by the side of the road. And the Chamber of Commerce in this land, I tell you, they don't give one damn. The more we try to economize, the more cost of living rise. When they have power and authority, they don't give a damn about nobody. They prostitute in the island, milking the land dry. They making my people starve. Exploiting, oppressing, less freedom, more suffering. This thing just can't go on. Think it over, my friend. Think it over, carefully again. Think it over, don't vex with me, shut. Think it over, I'm singing as a sea. Work we can't even find. Life seems a waste of time. Nothing to do but sit around the corner line. So frustrated, some would rather starve than beg. Others turn to crime and steal what they can get. And the judges have no sympathy, they're hammering everyone that they catch. Even little children are jailed without regret. When they have power and authority, they don't give a damn about you or me. And what they do, lock me up when they catch me. Smoking little tampi while the social rich are freed. Exploiting, oppressing, less freedom, more suffering. A poor man's life is really hard indeed. Think it over, my friend. Think it over, carefully again.
Do it again.
Take it over, don't vex with me.
good night, folks. We could go on and on, but time has come for us to say good night again. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. See you on Thursday, God's willing.
Good night.